what would we personally do if tomorrow we got laid off from a job?
However, being the individual that has been made redundant, I do think it is so important to take the time to actually process what's happening and realise that it is not personal.
Let's just focus first and foremost on your LinkedIn profile, because I honestly think right now LinkedIn is probably more important than your resume.
You have got to think about both sides of the fence. Think about the traditional routes to how you job search and your digital online presence.
So if you update your LinkedIn profile to say open for work, that is also telling the marketplace, aka the recruiters, the HR people, that you are looking, and you are more likely then to be reached out to and contacted versus if you don't do that.
This is a moment in time, and I do appreciate that it can be really stressful, but just always keep context.
Welcome to another episode of the Career Confidence Podcast with myself, Georgie Hubbard. And today I've got a very special guest. She's back on the mic. Pam, amazing to have you by my side again today.
Oh, thank you very much. It's so nice to be back. I have actually missed being in the Pori studio, having some amazing conversations, but I have obviously been keeping up with the Career Confidence Podcast. There's been some amazing guests, and some of the interviews that you have conducted in my absence, they've been fantastic, like really engaging. I really enjoyed the one on the menopause as well. Just really, really important topic. So if you've not given that one a listen yet, please do so. But yeah, it's really great to be back, and I'm looking forward to the interviews we've got for the rest of the year.
Yeah, amazing. Well, today Pam and I sat down and we really wanted to offer a lot of value, insights, information, because what Pam and I are seeing in the market right now is that a lot of incredible people that we've worked with in the past, that we've placed in the past, that we've had interview in the past, are unfortunately being laid off and been made redundant from their current employer. And the amount of messages that I'm getting, Pam's getting, our coworker Bree's getting, it's pretty intense at the minute with people on the market. So we sat down and we thought, okay, what would we personally do if tomorrow we got laid off from a job? What were the steps that we would be personally taking? And we just wanted to basically just write it all out, do some research, speak to people in the market, and just come up with 8 ideas, tips, advice on what you can do if you do find yourself on the job market at this point in time. So I really hope that this episode is going to offer a lot of value. If you're somebody that hasn't been made redundant, but you know someone who has, please share it with them, because we really want this episode to be as beneficial and as helpful as possible. So yeah, we're going to get into it. And like I said, please share, please comment, please reach out to us if you have been made redundant. If you are in the tech industry, we would love to help you in any way we can. So let's get stuck into it, Pam. So the first step that I would personally take, and Pam, I know you would personally take, is to really sit with it and just process the emotions. I have been let go from a job before, and I can honestly say it was pretty awful. At the time I was in my early 20s. So again, and I know you're going to go and talk about this, Pam, my situation is very different to what it would be today with a mortgage and a lot of, you know, outgoings per month. So the situation would be completely different, but let's just talk to that first and foremost. So Pam, in your personal opinion, how important is it to just sit with what's happened, process the emotions, allow yourself to feel frustrated, angry, you know, sad, anything that you're feeling? How important do you think that is for people?
Massively. I think regardless of what your situation is, being made redundant can come as a shock and a surprise and come out very, very left field. It's challenging. It's stressful. It brings up a lot of the more negative emotions, and that is completely normal. It is not nice for the person that's being made redundant. It is also not nice for the person that is having to make the redundancy. So there's emotions at both sides of the fence. However, being the individual that has been made redundant, I do think it is so important to take the time to actually process what's happening and realize that it is not personal. Mm. It is not personal. This is not because you have not done a good job, you have not operated at your full potential, that you've not added value to the position that you're in. Unfortunately, we are finding ourselves in really severe economically challenging times. And if that has impacted you, the emotions that come up, they do need time to be processed. It's okay. It's completely normal to feel resentment and anger. That is okay. Let the negative emotions come, but sit with them and then let them go. But it is a very important time to really emphasize that self-care aspect of it. We actually discussed prior to coming on to the podcast the difference between being made redundant when you're maybe 21, mm-hmm. not to be ageist, right? But if you're made redundant when you're in your early 20s, you're a bit more carefree or potentially more carefree. You potentially don't have as many responsibilities as, say, a 38-year-old mother with two kids that is the sole earner in their family. You're going to experience two very polar opposite stresses in your lives. But I would encourage everyone to just stop, pause, and take stock of the enormity of what's happened. I think that's something that's very important to do for everyone.
I completely agree. And, you know, I always say it, but all emotions want to be felt. Mm. And I think just slapping a fake smile on and, you know, being positive, it can be quite toxic in these types of situations. So again, feel the emotions, deal with them, give yourself as much time as you need to deal with them and process them, but don't marinate in it as well.
Yeah.
That's really important.
Do not be embarrassed.
Correct.
You are not alone. And as I mentioned at the start, it is not personal. Mm. So absolutely speak about it. Say it out loud. Yeah. Speak to your loved ones. Speak to other people in your network as well that have potentially experienced the same thing. Reach out and seek support, because it is a really tough experience to have to navigate.
Mm. Well, one episode that we did was with Tova, and she is the ex-recruiter at Google. I highly recommend, if you haven't listened to that episode, to go back and listen to it, mm-hmm. because the one thing she says, and she has unfortunately had to make a lot of people redundant in her mm-hmm. 10 years at Google, she's like you said, Pam, it's not personal. And also typically it's sometimes the best people that unfortunately are let go.
Correct.
People automatically assume, oh, you've been made redundant, you maybe not good at your job. That is not the case. So please go back and listen to that episode, because I think there was so many nuggets of gold in that one that if you have been made redundant right now, that would really, really help you in your mindset as well. So make that your next podcast listen. So yeah, number one, look, process emotions and really allow yourself the time to deal with that. The step number two, once you've done that and you've dealt with that, is really take some time to just look at your financial situation. I think that in this market, it may take a little bit longer potentially to secure yourself another job as it stands right now. Now that's going to change really quickly, but it's really important to not overwhelm yourself and also just be going, okay, what are my outgoings each month? What does that mean for me and my family? And like you said at the start, Pam, as well, if you're living at home and you're in your early 20s, it's going to be very different to if you're 38 with two kids and you're the sole
Brennan,
right? So yeah, that's something to really sit with and map out. And I'm not going to go into too much detail on that, but I think, you know, so many people listening to this, if they have been laid off, you know, they might have high mortgage right now because mortgage rates are going up. Mm-hmm. You know, there's food or cost of living. It's going to cause a lot of stress, but I think knowledge is power, and just knowing where you are from that financial standpoint, having a bit of a plan in place is going to make you feel a sense of calm, because you're going to feel in control.
Correct.
And hopefully you do have a little bit of a runway for a few months, just in case you don't secure a job straight away, just to know where you are, maybe just lower your spending for a period of time and know that, again, this is a chapter, it's not your story. You are going to get through this. But I think just from that sense of peace and calmness of mind, knowing where you are from a financial standpoint is really important. And that would be something that I would personally do. I'd have to know, you know, me being quite a planner, I'd have to know where I stood each month. So I feel quite calm in that situation. So that would be my point number two, and something that I would absolutely implement. So have a budget and understand your financial situation each month. Moving on to the third thing. So you've processed your emotions, you know where you are financially, you know your runway. Time to get your resume and your LinkedIn profile up to date. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. So resume super important. Might have a dust it down if you've been in a job for a while, but let's just focus first and foremost on your LinkedIn profile, because I honestly think right now, LinkedIn is probably more important than your resume. The reason why I say that is because the first thing recruiters do, HR managers do, is they will check you out online. Your online presence, more than ever, is really, really important. So Pam, any thoughts on that? Do you agree? Like, you know, I say it is true. When we get a resume in, what's the first thing we do?
Absolutely. I think you've touched upon something really important there. You have got to think about both sides of the fence. And by that, what I mean is think about the traditional routes to how you job search and your digital online presence. You are correct. In this day and age, when you apply for a role or when you update your profile, the first thing that people look at is your digital and your online presence, of course. One of the things that I have been looking at recently is people's online LinkedIn profile. And I've been reading that because it gives me, as a recruiter, more of a quick snapshot and an overview of what's this person's about profile, where have they worked, what have been the key things that they've done, and at the bottom, who are their recommendations? Do they have any recommendations? Your digital and your online presence just tells us a bit of a story about you. So make sure that you do take a little bit of a step back and actually think about, okay, if someone was coming in that does not know me from Adam, does not know my current situation, does not know why I've been made redundant, what do they see when they first look at my digital and my online presence? So really think about, even from not who you are, your about section, where you've worked, think about the type of content that you are liking, think about the type of content that you are sharing, think about the type of content you are commenting on. Make it incredibly engaging. Be very intentional with how you are navigating about in terms of your online presence, because that is what's going to start coming up mm-hmm. in other people's feeds. So I would definitely not only think about just updating my profile, I would be very intentional about the type of content that I was engaging with, the type of companies that I'm actually reading content about and liking and commenting and sharing. Who am I growing my network with? So I would definitely look at, you are right, traditional, you have got to have a really solid resume that does have to be brushed up. You need to make sure that you have got it really laid out in a very beautifully presented way, a very visually pleasing way. You've got to have it laid out. You need to make sure that the spelling and the grammar is spot on. Please do not forget about that. That sounds so simple, but it is 2023. I had to look at the year there. It is 2023, and the amount of resumes that I still get through that have got spelling and grammatical errors, it's so unnecessary.
No excuse for that. There's a program called Grammarly. I highly recommend. There's a free version of it. Go and download it. If you're updating your resume, get that tool.
Yeah, but absolutely, Georgie. LinkedIn is just such a powerful platform for any job seeker out there.
Yeah, 100%. And the other thing I would say is there is a function on LinkedIn that you can actually put open to work. The reason I would do that as well is because then that will also let LinkedIn know from that back-end perspective. So as a recruiter, there's a program that we use called basically LinkedIn Recruiter. And what we will do is when we search for candidates, so say I was searching for a UX designer, right? I would go into LinkedIn and I would use the program called LinkedIn Recruiter, and I would type into the program UX designer, and I would click on a function called open to work. And it's going to bring up the candidates that are open to work. Now, what am I going to do first and foremost? I'm going to message those people.
Yeah.
So if you update your LinkedIn profile to say open for work, that is also telling the marketplace, aka the recruiters, the HR people, that you are looking, and you are more likely then to be reached out to and contacted versus if you don't do that. So that's really, really important. So like, take a proactive approach as soon as you have been made redundant or laid off, or even if you are just open to work. Maybe don't put it visible if you're not actually if you're still in a place of employment, but just by being a bit more active on LinkedIn, that will tell the algorithm and the platform that you are looking and potentially available for new opportunities. So that's really, really important. But yeah, just make sure you've got a good LinkedIn profile picture. You know, just don't have you at the bar with a cocktail or a beer. Like, that's just not a good look. Make sure you've got your title laid out. You know, if you are a UX designer or you're a project manager or whatever you are, make sure that's very clear in your bio, because also these are the things that people use to search. So we'll use, you know, we'll type in your job title to search for you. Mm-hmm. So make sure that is crystal clear. Your LinkedIn profile looks fantastic, professional, and it's got all of your relevant experience and skills on there, and it matches your resume. So that is the third step, just to make sure that that is all set up nicely. Really, really important. Can't stress that enough. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I wanted to quickly pop in and talk to you about our amazing supporter, CH Talent Solutions. We are an IT and digital recruitment company based in Australia. If you are someone right now looking for a new opportunity or considering a career pivot, please reach out to one of our consultants. Or if you are somebody looking to build your team or build your company or scale, again, please reach out to us if you are looking to find the best tech talent fast. I look forward to connecting with you. Now back to today's episode. Enjoy. The fourth step that I would then take is use your network. Now, obviously, of course, if you're brand new to the job market or if you've not had many jobs before, you know, this is a time to be building up your network and do it from day one. Your network is your net worth. Please begin from day one to just start connecting to people and building up your online presence. But let's just say you have been on the job market for a little while. You do have a number of connections, old co-workers, old colleagues, old bosses. These are the people to hit up first, right? Give them a message, drop them an email, call them. Let them know you're back on the market and you're open to work. Nothing beats a recommendation. So if you can get someone to vouch for you or say, hey, you know, I'm reaching out because look, I've just been made redundant. You know, is there anything going at your company? Oh, so good to hear from you. I'm really sorry to hear that. Let me go and find out. This is, again, just as a side note here, why it's really important to not burn bridges, because you never know when you might need your old co-workers or your old bosses or anything. So always leave on best terms as you possibly can.
Agreed. I think it's just important to always be kind. And I think that regardless of whatever happens, I always like to keep a strong sense of understanding and put the shoe on the other foot and try to understand things from both sides of the fence. Yeah. So regardless of what your experience is, I think that that really is absolute stellar advice. Do not get overly emotional about the situation.
Yeah.
Very hard, very, very challenging. But please try and take a little bit of a step back and take a bit of an overarching view across why is this happening? What are the reasons? Okay. And always try to come from a place of understanding. But yeah, really keep those solid professional relationships. That's all they need to be. You don't have to be best friends with every single person that you work with, but those professional networks, they compound over the years, and the industry is very small. I think that it is very important to continue to try and keep those professional networks as your career evolves.
I completely agree.
Very good advice. I think in terms of the whole the networking, again, traditional and digital. Yes, absolutely sit on LinkedIn, connect with other people in your field, make sure that you're expanding your network online. If you have companies that you're interested in working with, making sure that you're actually following, liking, sharing content that that company is putting out online. And definitely join online forums and go to some online workshops, whatever it may be, whatever tickles your fancy, whatever it is that you're looking for, whether you want to explore maybe new avenues, new skill sets, or if you want to retain in the area that you're currently in, make sure that you get involved in these. These sessions online, they are easy to attend. All you need to do is allocate the time. And in a time where you've been made redundant, it can be very uplifting to be in a room with potentially other people that are experiencing a similar situation to yourself, but also just to have that sort of social feel around your professional career of choice. I do think that it's important to also note that we are in the post-COVID era. We can get out and about and we can physically go to careers fairs. We can physically go to networking events. We can reach out to catch up with people for an in-person coffee. We have recently got started as ourselves, Georgie and I, heading back out to physically meet all clients in person, meeting past placements in person, going for coffees. And again, that social stimulation in a time where you may feel fairly isolated, having been made redundant, can just be, it's been so uplifting. And those in-person catch-ups, please do not underestimate the power of that. This is also one of the main reasons that Georgie and I started our Sisterhood Club socials. The power of networking in person cannot be underestimated. Georgie, how incredible have our social networking events been?
Oh, so uplifting, so inspiring. And I have met incredible people at our event. And I will also say this, jobs have been gained from coming to the networking events.
Yeah, correct.
You know, you never know who you're going to meet. And it is a perfect example to a perfect way of getting in front of people. Obviously, Pam and I run a recruitment company. So, you know, who are we going to think of when a job comes up if we've met you face to face versus if we've just been pinged a resume, right? Yeah. So important. And I think the key thing is when you're networking is be visible, mm-hmm. be memorable, you know, just but be yourself. But I think, yeah, getting yourself out there, reaching out to the people that you know, like, trust, anyone in your network, that is the first point of call. So, so important.
Can I also just say about in-person events?
Yes.
Something that is actually really important. I honestly believe that it helps you develop a skill. Going to a networking event can really push people outside of their comfort zone. It can make people feel incredibly uncomfortable having to approach people that they do not know and introduce themselves. However, if you think about the flip side of this, if you have been made redundant after, say, 10 years, you've not been on the job market for a decade, you are going to honestly feel like you are drowning. That is very confronting. Yeah. Going to a networking event, that is going to start pushing you out your comfort zone and almost force you into a position of having an elevator pitch for yourself. Who am I? What do I do? What is my background? What am I ideally looking for at the moment? That is going to force you into a situation where you're having to introduce yourself to unknown people in the industry, which in turn is actually going to really assist you for when you actually start getting interviews, because that is an uncomfortable situation. Going into interviewing can leave people feeling very, very nervous. But if you get out to these industry events and you start practicing your introduction about yourself, letting that flow, feel a little bit uncomfortable, but then just settling into feeling that real confidence about, right, I know who I am. I know what value I can bring. And this is how I'm going to present myself. So I do think that the networking events, the in-person networking, please do not underestimate it. It is such a powerful thing to be involved in.
I completely agree. No, really solid advice there. So absolutely, network online, network in person, so, 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 so important. Okay. Point number five. So you've networked, you've updated your resume, you've got a nice shiny new LinkedIn profile, you've got your financial situation covered and you've processed all your emotions. Now it's time to begin that job search. So look, obviously the first thing you do is look on the job boards. Who's hiring? Make a note of the companies, send your resume. Top tip here, we've talked about this in a previous podcast. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but please just add a little bit of a customization into each of those jobs that you are applying for. It does go a long, long way. If you just send a generic resume to every single job ad that you're applying for, you're reducing your chance of getting an interview by a significant amount, right? So if you are applying, if you're not going to use a recruiter, take that little bit extra time, and I said it before, to just customize.
I'm actually laughing here because one of the old sayings is, do not spray and pray.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Do not do that. That's a key do not.
And I think that when panic strikes in, okay, this is why you got your financial situation down pat and you just kind of suss that out, because then you can sort of go, okay, I don't just want to rush into this. Okay, my career is really important to me. I don't want to just be somebody who starts a company, goes in for a couple of months and then leaves, right? So you want to avoid that from happening. So don't just rush in and just apply for everything and just panic.
Yeah.
Take a little bit of time to just really get this right. Look at who's hiring, look at the job ads, click on their LinkedIn profile, look at the company insights, what values, what products have they got, what can you add to the company? It's really, really important. I think when we are under stress and we're in panic mode, the first thing to do is just go into pure action, but just take a little bit of time to just go, okay, what's out there right now? What's going to be good for me? And what is a role that would actually excite me and make me want to stay for a period of time?
Can I just actually pop back onto what you've mentioned there just about the financial situation and being able to actually take the time? Mm-hmm. I completely appreciate now, if I found myself in a position where I had made redundant at the moment, I would be in a state of panic. I would genuinely have to go through all of these steps. But I'm just actually reflecting on a friend who has actually recently been made redundant, and what she's done. She has a mortgage to pay. She's got her bills to pay. She physically didn't have a runway, so she did have to find work incredibly fast. But what her route and her approach was, she actually took a 6-week piece of work. She's in HR and talent. She found a not very well paid hourly job in HR that was going to see her through 6 weeks of work, because what she didn't want to do was to have to rush mm-hmm. the job search and take something really quickly that she wasn't well suited to, she didn't slot into. So she took a very short term 6-week hourly paid that wasn't anywhere near what she was used to earning, mm-hmm. but she took something to allow her that time to spend the time on a digital presence, to spend her time going to networking events, to spend her time tailoring her resume. And I thought that is actually smart, because a lot of people do just go full steam ahead straight into the interviewing process, mm-hmm. and they end up taking something with a very short-term view. Whereas if you maybe take that approach, it will give you the time you want to enter. If you're really looking to secure a permanent job, you want to be thinking, can I see myself here for the next 2 years?
Exactly.
So do what it takes in order for you to feel comfortable financially. The financial aspect is a very, very important mm-hmm. part to get right, to eliminate the stress,
yes,
to be able to enable you to be able to take the right action.
Exactly. In fact, that was actually point number 6. I've actually just said consider a contract or short-term work.
Oh, I am sorry. No,
exactly. Because this is why we're having, yeah, it's very conversational, because again, I completely agree, because the temptation is just to apply for everything, right?
It
and
is.
Then again, just you get into a job and you go, oh God, what have I done? Maybe you'll take a salary cut because you're just so panicked, you just want to get a job. But like your friend did, fantastic. Took a 6-week contract. Right, okay, I've got some money coming in now. Because the other thing as well, it's easier to get a job when you have a job, because you're not under stress, you're not under the pump of just, I just need to get work. You've got some income coming in, and that can eliminate a lot of stress, and instantly you can then approach the job market with a calm and collective manner, and you don't just jump at the first thing that comes along, right? Because the problem then is that can actually do more harm than good, because if you end up in a company that you dislike, and then you're on the job market 6 months' time, it's like you've got to go through all of that again. So just, that's really solid advice. I'm really glad that we've used that as an example. The other thing I would just add, when you do begin your job search is, so let's just say you are applying for the roles that are advertised, but don't forget there is hidden jobs as well. There are jobs that get advertised internally that maybe don't find themselves on the, you know, on the open web. So if you think to yourself, okay, what are my top 20 companies say that I would absolutely love to work for? You know, maybe they are, you know, big tech houses, like maybe your Canvas or your Atlassians or your Googles, right? But just what are my dream companies? Where would I love to work? And maybe have a mix of large, medium, small, like businesses. Like who would you really love to work for? And just almost treat it like a bit of a business development project. And think about, okay, who do I need to connect to? Who do I need to get in front of? Who can I impress, right? But just having those sort of 20 companies, target companies to go after, can kind of give you a bit of structure. Because I think the one thing that people probably struggle with when they're looking for a job is that structure. So just kind of thinking, okay, who would I absolutely love to get in front of? What would be my dream job? Now is a good time to do that as well. right? So alongside just applying for jobs, alongside maybe looking for some short-term contract work, there's plenty of that out there. Having a list of 20 companies and going after them as well, I personally think could give you a bit of motivation and also just kind of give you a bit of like I said, a routine, a structure and a goal to shoot for when you are on the job market. So yeah, begin that job search, reach out to recruiters as well. Don't forget recruitment companies, reach out to CX Solutions, if you're in tech, but plenty of really good recruiters out there as well. And if you've worked with one before, get in contact with them as well. So we've covered point six, which is the short-term freelancing work. So again, I'm just going to quickly just say this, but if you're a developer, you're a designer, don't neglect websites like Fiverr or Upwork. They are absolutely fantastic just if you want to get an hourly rate. Mm-hmm. There's always work going on in there. There's always companies just putting short-term products on that. So that would be one of the first things that I do as well, is just get some income coming in, just get some money through the door. Fiverr, Upwork, those types of websites are absolutely fantastic. And I have used them a lot when I sort of want stuff done from that sort of creative point of view as well. Point number seven. So once you're out looking for jobs and you're doing all the right things, upskill. This is such a fantastic time to just go, right, what are my gaps? Are there anything I want to learn? Are there any workshops I can attend? Are there any online workshops or courses that I can learn? Are there any books that I would love to have read but haven't read yet? Use this time to upskill, to learn. Use this time productively, because one of the first questions that someone in recruitment or HR might ask you is, you've been out of work for a few months, what have you been doing? Right. And if you can say, well, I've done this and I've done that and
panicking.
Yeah, correct. Right. Maybe that has been the case. But also, what a great story to tell.
Yeah.
Well, during this time, I've actually I've learned a new technology language and I've been doing this, or, oh, I've always wanted to learn this and I've gone away and done that. I've always wanted to learn Salesforce and I've gone and done a course. Oh, that's fantastic. As you can see, you've been using this time really, really well. Mm. It goes a long way. And it also is going to give you a bit of, bit of motivation, bit of self-discipline. It's going to keep you in a really good headspace. You're going to feel like you're growing, because sometimes when we are on the job market and when maybe our confidence is being knocked a little bit, we want to make sure that we're staying as productive as possible. So during this time, don't just watch Netflix back to back. Use it wisely. Really sort of think, okay, what could I be doing in this time that I've got now? Mm. Yeah, you could be panicking, but you could also be using this time really productively. So I would say, if there's anything you've wanted to learn, anything that you've wanted to, do, but you haven't had the time to do it because you've been a full-time job, fantastic time to do it. Anything to add to that, Pam?
No, I would definitely agree. I think like one of the most important things that you can do for yourself is not allow your mind to become idle in these times, because that is when your brain does sit, it overthinks, anxiety, creeps in, worry, panic takes over. Definitely take the action. Make sure you explore areas of interest, and that might be in your current field, but you might also have an itch that needs scratched. You might have considered really having a bit of a pivot, mm-hmm. or exploring other avenues. It might be a complete 360 from what you do currently. Take that time to really reassess and reevaluate exactly where you're at and what you want to be doing next, and then look into the abundance of courses and everything that's out there. There is so much information out there just at our disposal at the moment, and it's really powerful to do that. Make sure that your mind is remaining engaged, and that will just keep you really stimulated and motivated in your job search as well. Do you know one thing that just popped in my mind as well?
What?
Based on a meeting we had yesterday, entrepreneurship. Like, genuinely, if you find yourself in this situation and you've got a passion that you have considered pursuing for many years, we actually met up with someone yesterday that just asked us a few questions about entrepreneurship and what our journey has been like in terms of launching our businesses. And we spoke to that experience, and he kindly shared his story that him and a friend have been thinking about launching their own business for years. And they've never done it because it's not been the right time. So if you, for some reason, find yourself in a position where you have a bit of a break in a career that's came really unexpected, if you have other passions that you want to pursue, maybe now's the time. Maybe now's the time. So definitely using the time really productively, I think, is really key, whether that be exploring existing career routes, potential career routes, maybe new passions, existing passions that you actually want to have the opportunity to do a bit of a deep dive in. Is this something I can really carve out a future career for myself? I think like that's something that you could really consider as well.
1,000,000%. Use this time wisely. You know, like I said, it really is your frame of reference of how you look at this.
Yeah.
But it honestly could be a blessing in disguise. So again, use it wisely.
Yeah.
Is key advice there. And look, finally, we had touched upon this throughout this episode, but it's a really important time to look after yourself. Like you just said then, Pam, you know, you could quite easily let your thoughts get the better of you. You could quite easily fall into a spiral of negativity, of self-doubt, of just really, really beating yourself up. Now's not the time to do that, because if you do get yourself in that sort of state, employers, recruiters, they're going to feel that as well. So, and I know it's easier said than done, but really try and stick to any type of routine. If you were in the habit of getting up at a certain time, get up at that time still. Keep some structure in your day. If you're used to getting up and getting in the gym by a certain time, keep to that structure, because the worst thing you can do is start getting out of bed later, going to bed later, fall into really bad habits. Do everything in your power to try every single day to just start the day in a positive way, whatever that looks like for you. For me, it's meditation, movement, good breakfast. Regardless of what's going on in my life, that's one thing that will never change. So try your absolute hardest to just stick to those routines and those really good habits. Watch your thoughts, challenge them, because they are thoughts, not facts. And be really, really aware of what you're telling yourself day to day. Really is super important.
Absolutely. The positive mindset is just so important. And please do remember, I know that these times can be particularly heavy, but please keep context. Your career does not define you. Your career is not who you are. It is what you do. So please do not let it drag you down. Please do aim to just keep structuring your day, keep that positive mindset. And as I say, just apply these top tips. I think that there's some real tangible points that could be taken away from this today. But this is a moment in time. And I do appreciate that it can be really stressful, but just always keep context. It does not define who you are.
Amazing. And on that note, we will finish today's podcast. I really hope that you've enjoyed this. Like I said, if you feel like there's somebody out there that would benefit from this, please share it with them. That is the biggest gift you can give Pam and I. It helps spread the message of what we're trying to do here. And I really hope you enjoyed. Reach out to us as well. Let us know if you are looking for a position right now. We might be able to help you out. So have a great week, everyone, and we'll speak to you again soon. Take care. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoy these episodes, the number one thing you can do to help us grow and keep spreading our mission and message is to hit the subscribe button. And if you have time, give us a quick rating. Appreciate each and every one of you who tune in every week. And we look forward to bringing you many more episodes this year. Take care.